When the Government Accountability Office rules in favor of a contract protester, it doesn't automatically mean you get the deal. That happened in a recent case involving the Department of Veterans Affairs. Bill Welch is a partner at McMahon Welch and Learned and my next guest on Industry Chatter today. He says that is one of two important lessons that agencies and contractors can learn from that case. Bill, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining me. What are the facts of the case of this storage situation? The contractor from Pittsburgh, is it Hanel Storage Company?
Yes, Hanel, I believe it is. In that case, the RFP specifically said that you had to have a particular type of storage arrangement in order to move items in and out of storage for one of the VA hospitals. And the RFP was very particular. It said it had to have like a four-point hanging system in order to get the products in and out of storage, and the eventual awardee had proposed a two-point storage system, a two-point hanging system, and the protester protested, saying that if the agency wanted a two-point, they could have proposed a lower-price two-point system, and that the awardee didn't meet the requirements. So it's pretty simple. Even though this was overall, I believe, a best value procurement, the VA essentially said, well, as long as they meet our needs, they don't have to meet exactly the procurement specification. I believe this was a GSA schedule buy. GAO came back and said, no. And, if you put very particular requirements in the RFP or the RFQ, then the company that receives the award has to meet those specifications. Otherwise, it's not a fair competition because your competitors can bid lesser specifications at lower prices, you would just be expected to meet the requirements. GSA upheld the protest.
There's one thing that you write in your piece about this in the Washington Business Journal that I wonder if I might get a little bit of a language lesson from you.
Wrote,
the RFQ specifically called for the warehouse area storage units to have an extractor system that, quote-unquote, must, end quote, be suspended on four corners to allow for uneven loading, et cetera, as you've just outlined. Would it have made a difference if the RFQ said, instead of must, said should, and then the contractor that actually proposed a two-cornered suspension could have said, well, it didn't say it had to. Is that the kind of very specific language on which some protests can turn, Bill?
Well, I wouldn't expect the agency to use the word should, because should is much closer to must than might.
Okay.
If you can kind of draw that distinction.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times, the agency will have looser specifications saying, it has to be either suspended, in this particular case, from a 4-point or 2-point, or it has to meet the general requirements of being able to extract, the products from the storage shelves, whether it's a 2-point or 4-point. You can have looser specifications, but I think the point in this case is where it specifically says you have to have it, then you have to have it. And the agency can't make an exception without going in and changing the specifications. So, to me, the takeaway in this case is that if the agency is going to be so specific that it requires a 4-point suspension, for some kind of extraction system to pull products out of a storage unit, then that's what you have to have. And if the agency wants something less, then they're going to have to go back and amend the solicitation.
Bill Welch is writing about this in the Washington Business Journal, and you can find a link to what he's writing at federalnewsradio.com. The first point that you note in this piece is exactly that, that you should give them what they want, give them what they ask for. The second one you write is that the GAO simply will not recommend award to the contractor next in line.
Yeah.
The protest went to Honnell, as you said, but the company that won Honnell didn't necessarily get the deal just because they protested and GAO found that they were right.
That's something that a lot of our clients don't really understand. Just because you win a protest, just because the agency or GAO determines that they've made a mistake, the GAO is not going to direct or recommend that an award be made to some other company, to the protester or whoever's next in line. The GAO is always going to allow the agency to go back and to consider, well, do we really need this or not? If we really need it, then yes, maybe we will make award to the next in line. But if they decide, well, we're going to save money if we get a different configuration, as long as we get our needs satisfied, especially if we can get our needs satisfied by a lower price, then maybe we'll just amend the solicitation and allow for final proposal revisions, new proposal revisions.
You've got another piece in the Washington Business Journal, Bill, that I imagine you took a little bit of flack over this one.
Actually, I got a lot of positive feedback from it, frankly.
Well, that's interesting to hear, because you wrote, I'm just going to say it, it's time that we stop subsidizing Alaska Native corporations to the exclusion of other small businesses across the country. Give me the thumbnail of what prompted you to write that, Bill.
All right. Well, over the last, I don't know if it's been 20 or 25 years, or maybe even 30 years for that matter, Alaska Native corporations have been exempt from I don't want to get too much into the details, but essentially they've been exempt from affiliation rules, and they have been allowed to create affiliate corporations that would go through the 8A company, and they would go through their regular 9-year cycle in an 8A company in the 8A program. And once they get out, a lot of those companies become really large companies. But the Alaska Native corporations are allowed then to create a new subsidiary and run that one through the 8A company, through the 8A program, without being affiliated with its larger companies. And this is the only exception to the affiliation rules. And quite frankly, a lot of 8A companies and a lot of small business companies have had a lot of difficulty competing with Alaska Native corporations. And these, and I have a great admiration for them, because they're often really well-run companies. I've represented them in the past. But other small businesses and other 8A companies have a lot of difficulty competing with them, because they don't have to worry about being affiliated with other large companies. In this particular case, the Navy, it appeared, wanted to try to level the playing field by making it clear that if the awardee is using or relying on affiliate companies, they have to clarify that the affiliate company is going to do work on this contract. And in this particular case, the GAO found that the proposal didn't indicate that the Alaska Native Corporation was going to do anything other than pull resources from other Alaska Native corporations that it's otherwise affiliated with. It touched a chord that has resonated with a lot of my clients, saying basically they're tired of having to compete with Alaska Native corporations and their advantages, because a lot of those companies have set up shop. They may ultimately be headquartered in Alaska, but they've set up shop in the Washington D.C. area with regular business management like any other company, and they're competing like any other company, but they don't, they have this significant advantage. And so many small businesses that I'm familiar with just really, find it difficult competing with them.